Hi, everyone, and welcome to another Sunday Roast with two wonderful guests once again. Let's start off with an old friend of the show, Graham. Graham, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Hello, I'm a Scouser adventurer, world's most travelled Scouser, Graham Hughes. And these days, I'm very Googleable. You can Google me. And these days, I'm running the Labour Social channel, which you can tune into. And we have live shows every day of the week. And on Fridays, we have the Labour Social. And I would really suggest watching it on Friday because we have a very, very special guest.
Ooh, very interesting.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a teacher. I've been so for about 20 years. It's where I met Alex many, many years ago when we were young reprobates. He's still a bit young. I teach psychology, A-level. Always interested in politics. Usually gets me in trouble. Now I'm welcomed on for that trouble I might cause. And yeah, I enjoy my job. Nothing to plug yet, but Alex will get me back on if I behave myself or not. But let's see.
Great to have you on. Alex, can you tell us a bit about yourself for anyone who's new to the
show? Hi, I'm Alex. I'm also known as Political X. I'm a YouTuber and historian and journalist. And my wonderful co-host, back again.
I've been on and off a little bit. My name is Max. I run the Robosphere channel where I talk about British politics and Brexit in particular. Alex, we have an Irish guest on. Maybe we can start talking about the future of Ireland. Colin, what do you think about a united Ireland? Is it when do you see this happening?
Well, Gene Roddenberry created Star Trek. Data, who was in The Next Generation, said that it's like the reunification of Ireland in 2024. So it has to be, according to Gene Roddenberry, in that universe, imminent. It needs to be imminent. But let's talk real facts about this. Sinn Féin have power, really do have power, in North and South at the moment. And had they not been whittled out by the Southern government with a kind of gerrymandering of people so that they could create a massive coalition of everybody but them. And then up north, they're now in Stormont and leading Stormont. And they're making sense. And I think a lot of people don't realise with Sinn Féin, they've got like a lot of leanings towards what they were and what they were, who were they once related to. They are an incredibly socialist organisation. Their manifesto is what drew Jeremy Corbyn towards them, very much about the people. And if you've got a problem in Southern or Northern Ireland and you've got issues, you can talk to them and they will help you and support you. And they are quite populist at certain times. At the moment, the last time I seen them on news about 3 weeks ago in Ireland, they were talking about getting rid of the TV license because the old people like that. But they actually seem to understand a lot of the political meanderings of Ireland, and they'll happily reunite Ireland, both North and South. And if it came to a referendum, North and South of the border, but mostly North, it's leaning towards, you know, people are sick of Brexit. People don't want Brexit. They'd happily reunite and say, right, we'll do this. It's problematic. Will the Tory government, Labour government, allow it? That's the bigger problem. There's resistance from all sides. The Unionist Party, the Democratic Unionist Party, I'm not sure they're going to go up quietly. It's there. It's less of a pipe dream than it once was. It's looking more like it could be leaning towards happening. But when... Whoa, I wouldn't like to put money on it. But I would say in the next decade, you might find if Southern Ireland becomes more financially capable and more support from the Europe, you might find that it's the only way to save the North is that it reunites with Ireland. Because if we become impoverished over here and Brexit has the impact that we think it's going to have and know that it is having, it's more imminent and more quickly than we think.
I'd like to bring in Graham here because he has his finger on the pulse of the Labour Party. And like we've seen recently with the Windsor framework, how the Labour Party backed the Conservatives, completely when it came to the Windsor framework in Parliament. And we've heard a lot from Hilary Benn, who'll likely be the next Northern Ireland Secretary. What do you think? Within the Labour Party, there is the feeling is towards maybe a border poll or a united Ireland, or have people been speaking about that?
Well, if it comes to it under the Good Friday Agreement, if there's enough people that want a border poll, there has to be a border poll. Labour get really no say in it. Labour don't field any MPs in Northern Ireland. And if I was from Northern Ireland, if I lived in Northern Ireland, I would so want my government to be in Dublin rather than London, just because, in the last 17 years, my GDP per capita as a Brit has gone down $5,000, gone down 10%. Whereas the people in the Republic of Ireland, and I know this is artificially inflated, but it's doubled. It's doubled in the same period. So just in terms of like political competence, I just want competent people running the place. But when it comes to Northern Ireland, I think it's very important that if this goes forward and this happens, it has to be something that brings everyone in almost everyone in Northern Ireland along with it. So I could imagine a situation in which in the future, say in 10 years, like Colin says, we have a poll and it says, yeah, we want to be part of the Republic of Ireland. But as a nod, as a nod to the unionists, we will still allow you to get a British passport. At the moment, if you're in Northern Ireland, you can get a British or an Irish passport or both if you want. I think that situation will probably continue because there are people who, although they have never been to Britain in their lives, never have generations of their families, they still feel very British, which is funny. The other thing I want to say about this is that I feel very strongly that all parties missed a trick back in 1998. I think that one of the things that should have come in with the Good Friday Agreement is the desegregation of schools. You would now have an entire generation of kids who went to school with Catholics, who went to school with Protestants. We didn't do that. We still split those children up. At a very early age, they're going to have no mates who are from the other side. They're not going to fall in love with someone from the other side. In Northern Ireland, they still talk of mixed marriages. And you think, you mean mixed race? And they're like, no, Catholics and Protestants getting together. And so I think that is something that should have been done. And if it can be done soon, I'd love to see that because I think that's another step on the way to sort of.
I'd just like to mention another thing, and then we can maybe bring in both Alex and Colin again. When it comes to support for United Ireland, so the position has been, of course, the Protestant side is normally pro-unionist, and then the Catholic side is normally pro-Irish, pro-United Ireland. But over the last number of years, there's been a middle ground, and this middle ground has been normally represented by the Alliance Party, which I believe is the sister party of the Liberal Democrats. They are growing, but what's happened recently is in the past they used to be a pro-union party. So they're not a unionist party, but they were a pro-union party, which is a little bit different. But now they have, because of Brexit, because they are a pro-European party, realize, okay, if we want to be closer to the European Union, then we need to be pr a pro-Irish party. So or pro-Irish unity party. So it seems that while the two, I don't like to say extremes, but you have the unionists and the nationalists, they have reached their sort of limits. The don't knows, who would normally be represented by the Alliance Party, are they're shifting as well. So when you look at polling, you'll see, well, there isn't a majority at the moment for a United Ireland in Northern Ireland. There isn't a majority for the Union, but there is a lot of don't knows, and they could be influenced by the Alliance Party, and this could shift, this could move more and more people. And I keep coming back to Brexit because, Brexit was a real game changer because support for United Ireland, according to polling in 2014, 2015, was quite lukewarm. And people were like, well, we have our peace, the situation, the UK economy is, we have austerity, whatever, it's not that bad. And then Brexit came along and it really blew a hole in the union, and we're seeing also with Scotland as well. Alex, do you want to, can I bring you in on if you want to say something about that, and then we'll go to Colin.
We all like Gene Roddenberry. I mean, what a genius, but we all love the lamp.
Of course. All hail the lamb.
Hail the lamp. Yeah, it's an interesting one because I'm sort of I would look at it more of a historical perspective. Nationalism and that type of stuff seems to rear its head when the economy goes down. But outside of London, Northern Ireland's doing really well. And Rishi Sunak summed it up perfectly by just going, "Yeah, isn't it great being in the EU?"
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, best of both worlds. Who would have thought how great that would have been? Such a moron. So there's an element of if Northern Ireland continues to have that level of, I mean, he even bragged about America being able to like go in there and that American companies are interested. And it actually seems that Northern Ireland's probably the most stable part outside of London of the UK, which is just fascinating considering the troubles from the 60s up until, 1990s. It was like so destabilized. And I think if there is a lot of stability and economic growth and there's a boom in Northern Ireland, maybe unification will delay. I mean, I'm looking at the statistics and there's more Catholics than there are Protestants. There's still 11% that are don't know. Alliance has grown to, I think, 13 members in Stormont, 13 or 15. So you're looking at it and you're going, is there a chance that Alliance, if they can show that they're competent in Stormont and can work with Sinn Féin, they'll grow and it'll just equal out and everyone go, well, you know what? Everything seems to be working quite well. We've got economic growth.
I
We've
just to
still
interrupt for a
moved
second,
through.
no, just to interrupt for a second, there's a problem with that because within the Good Friday Agreement, Alliance can't become the second largest party because they're not a unionist party. So
Yeah,
because of
right.
the Good Friday Agreement, you have to have a nationalist and you have to have both sides of the community represented. It seems a bit out of date now, but
Oh,
that's
completely.
maybe somebody in the comments will correct me, but as far as I
Yeah,
know,
no, you're
that's
right.
the way it
Yeah, that's
goes.
correct. That's
That's
why the
correct.
DUP could hold up Stormont for 2 years.
But then I'm confused about this because I'm going, it's a democracy. And then you've got the other thing that you're, but then you've got the other thing, which is it's a Secretary of State. Yeah, don't worry, Colin, I'll finish on this. It's a Secretary of Northern Ireland that has to make the decision. And it's absolutely vague as to when he makes that decision. So you might have the polling saying that, but if the government says, I'm not interested, I don't care, then that's the end of it. And that is one of our biggest issues with Westminster, is once they're in power, that's it. You've got to wait 5, 4 years before you can get them to start listening to you and start doing nice things, like the budget, right? That was great, wasn't it? Colin.
Well, so the democracy thing kind of haunts me. Obviously, when you force there to be two parties, it's not democratic if a third party comes really powerful and it's an alliance party. Oh, but you can't be in power now because that's ours. It's going to be a bit harsh to it. Like, where's the democracy in that? And any time I hear a Tory member or even any MP talk about democracy, I feel a bit sick. Because you're thinking, right, so you're voted in by the people, you've got your place, then you ignore them completely according to whatever mandate you have or what you just ignore them. But we've got the House of Lords. We aren't in a democracy. We don't live in a democracy at all. There's no democracy here. It's like an illusion of democracy. As long as the Lords exist, and some which are born into that privilege, you're thinking, well, where's our democracy? They can block, they can stop, they can do whatever they want. And then when people are in power, you think, well, you can form governments with somebody else from another part of the UK, like the
Right.
Democratic and Unionist Party. You can get them to prop your government up and give them £1.5 billion unaccountable money.
I'll play devil's advocate here and go. So it's interesting because we've had Trump, and we're going to bring him up a little bit later on in the show. If Trump had tried to pull that crap in the UK, I'm pretty sure the consider well, we might want to debate this as well. I'd like to think the Conservative Party would have yanked him immediately out of power from being Prime Minister and vote of no confidence, and he would have gone. Whereas Donald Trump seems to be going on a very similar path to Adolf Hitler in the fact that he can't do any wrong and nothing sticks to him like Teflon. Whereas Boris Johnson had to lie a couple of times about Partygate, lost the confidence of the party, and it's an interesting check on power. I'm not saying it isn't. And with the House of Lords, they can't really block anything. They can debate over stuff with a manifesto, but outside of the manifesto, they can cause quite a bit of damage. So there's the stuff with the DWP coming up where they're going to be checking disabled people's bank accounts. But there's another thing to that. Apparently, if you are not the disabled person, but you are putting money into that account, so let's say it's their birthday, you chuck them 20 quid. My understanding at the moment is the DWP are now and the banks are now allowed to investigate you for giving your disabled child, relative, friend money. And I'm going,
Wow.
that's just wow. Now it's being debated. Sorry, Colin. So I'm playing a bit of devil's
Yeah,
advocate.
no, totally. No,
I
I
mean,
hear you. I hear you. It's like, yeah. And I'm not disagreeing with you on this one. It's just that it's the, to me, in Ireland, we have a similar issue. We've got a Senate, and people are voted for people from the National University of Ireland. So the democracy in elements of Ireland are somewhat marred by that too. So don't get me wrong. So suddenly we've got two very important countries in Europe that don't really have a democracy in place. America, well, you're the historians. What is that? Like, what is America? It's got two parties. And it's got the Senate, and it's got and it's got Congress, and all of them can stop each other from working. It's like, where's the demos? Where's the people in this? The people are not involved. That's what makes me laugh about this. Democracy is give me the power, then I'll acknowledge that you give me the power, then I'll do what I damn well want. So the
I would say with
democracy's
America,
dead in this kind of thing.
I've spent 6 months working, living in America. I would say that democracy and it is more at the ground level, at the base level, and actually they're quite socialist. And I always cite their foot and their sports teams because if you're the worst team, you get to pick the best player in the next draft. And apparently Americans say that's equaling it out. I'm going, that's really socialist. Whereas like Manchester United, Liverpool, and everything, it's extreme capitalism at its
Yeah,
like,
elitism.
at its level. Graham, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it. You say we live in a democracy. Yeah, we all live in different democracies, but there's different levels of democracies, there's different flavors of democracy. I feel the same way that at the moment we have an elected dictatorship where the one party gets in, but it's a party dictatorship. It's not an individual dictatorship. And I do like the fact that we can get rid of our prime ministers halfway through a term if they're no good. In America, you have lame duck leaders like the second half of Ronald Reagan's reign of error, where the guy had dementia, but they couldn't get rid of him because it was 4 years fixed term thing, where he had to be the guy in charge. But yeah, I'm really deeply concerned about what's going to happen in America next. Talking to people in Labour, talking to Labour MPs and also activists within the party, there is a big feeling that we want to see proportional representation coming in, a reform of the House of Lords, definitely, more devolution to Wales, Scotland. We don't want to be seeing things like the Brexit referendum, where England drags Scotland out of the EU against its will. Over 60% of people in Scotland voted to remain in the EU. And we don't want to see that anymore. However, I'm hearing the same thing again and again and again is like when we get the when we take power from the Tories, if we win the next election, we're going to have so much shit to clear up. It's going to take years. And so those things to do with making our institutions more democratic, reforming the House of Lords, abolishing it, having a House of Britain elected. So you now have this crazy situation where you have Boris Johnson on the way out, giving some 29-year-old a job for life, being a legislator and like making legislator and actually
Or
making.
Liz Truss, who was there for 5 minutes, appointing people, was it like the head of the IEA to the House of Lords?
So
I
and that's all
was
got to
talking to a
stop.
friend. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was
So
talking to a friend about this,
go
about
on.
how many, like this particular, it depends on how long you talk. It's the 17 years Tory government. It's the same government, 17 years. Let's not make it any other way. They've created the most peers in any other government in history. They've generated the more peers than anyone else. Literally, that's just, it spits in the face of democracy. It's like if you voted people in, like, I used to joke that like at the end of your career as a politician, you should be judged. And based on what you've done, you either go to prison, executed, or given your pension. And I can show you that I joke about it. And I'm thinking, well, it's sounding more like a plausible scenario in the whole dystopic universe that we live in, that this might be that might be something to do.
It's also sounding a lot like Q from Star Trek, who says you're in an eternal judgment.
I didn't know you
No,
recognized me.
but no, you're right because
No.
they're
How can
not
you not
judged at
be?
all, Colin. You're right, they're not judged at all. They can
Nothing.
commit any kind of crazy act and make a lot of people suffer, and then they just walk out with a golden handshake at the end of it.
It just
It's
reminds me of
upset.
one of the worst things I heard from on Sky News was Sam Coates talking about Kwasi Kwarteng, and he said, "Yeah, he's probably going to get a job in the city." What? What? It's like thinking of, and I compare them to arsonists, and then they turn up at the tree planting event. It's just insane. You have people who crash the economy, and he didn't lose the whip along with Liz Truss. Both of them should have been kicked out of the party, but no, they're handed What is she doing? She's going to the US while she's still a frigging MP,
Tory
instead of
MP.
representing her constituents. She's in the US making money, delivering speeches, calling for the leader of an ally to be removed from power, which called
Yeah, I
which is
know.
for
I
the
heard that.
called for Joe Biden to be removed.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what she said. She said Joe Biden needs to go. He needs to be removed.
Sorry,
Same
Graham. I'll just
mechanism.
say this back because I've
Sorry, go on.
forgotten about it, and we'll probably get people coming in writing their comments. There is a mechanism in the US government to remove the president if they consider
But
him
yes,
unfit, but it's
but it's
never been implemented. Sorry, go on, Max.
okay. But it's not like how would the British people feel if, for example, an ally, the prime minister, a former prime minister of Germany, Chancellor of Germany, came over to Britain and said Rishi Sunak needs to be removed from power. Didn't specify how or in what way or what reason, just said this guy needs to go. Like, even people on, in the Labour Party or Labour support, they would say, hey, wait a minute, hold on. Well, is
Yeah, so
somewhat.
the dark thing, it shocks me a little bit when we've got these problems, which we led back to the whole thing about Northern Ireland, and it's like, it's and like, have devolution and running your own country within another country, where all their money comes from a certain part of the country. And it's a very strange thing. Yeah, we live in a type of democracy, but it's not democracy. For the code of conduct of Chris Bryant, I think, wrote a lovely book called Code of Conduct. On the whole idea of how we should be behaving well, of all the I'm pretty fond of Chris Bryant's home. I can't wait to see him in government. So I'll make sure you all vote from up in Pontypool, wherever he's going in.
Do you all think the United Ireland is possible in the next 10 years then? Do you think it's likely? I think not possible is not good enough. I think, is it likely?
As an Irishman, I can tell you nothing is likely until it happens. It's like you're likely to have a party when everybody's there and dressed up for the party, but anything can happen between you getting in that door and ordering your first drink. It could be a fight, it could be an argument. You could all forget your money. You could all say we're in the wrong place. And I'm not saying about the organization part of it. It's just there's so many extraneous variables at play in this one. And what I would say is, as Max pointed out perfectly, a properly united people, and then the Ireland falling in place with it. If you're united as a people, the etches on a graph, the things matter nothing to you. You're all going to the same pub together. You're all celebrating the same football team. You're all celebrating the glory of whatever. You don't care about whether you're a United supporter or whatever. It's like, what at the moment what we have is we've got people looking at Everton and Liverpool. And oh, you can't be this, you can't be that. What we need is them to be looking at a national football team they both agree with. And then they're all together cheering on in a league they agree in. And that's the future we need to see for them. We're not there yet. They disagree about everything. That guy's marching through the streets in bowler hat, propped up by governments. And there's people who are impoverished. Our big target is get rid of the poor, help the poor. And then nobody cares what politics you have. We're all happily fed. We're all happily working. We're all happily supported. Tax the rich, eat them if we need to. It's like when we got this whole idea now saying that if things go really bad, which it seems to be pointing towards, a United Ireland's more possible, more probable. At the moment, there's too many disagreements. They wouldn't even be agreeing on what you'd call this United Ireland. Is it a republic? Is it a United Ireland? Is it whatever? So we'd have this particular problem. That would be they'd start going to blows over that.
Graham,
No,
could there ever
I
be a United Everton Liverpool?
well, look, I don't hate Liverpool. I'm an Evertonian, but if Liverpool are playing any other team, I support Liverpool. I'm chuffed when they win something because it
you go.
means it's a big party in Liverpool, and I always love a good party. So, I mean, generally speaking, I just think that everyone, like Colin was saying, there's a big thing about integration, which isn't happening enough in Northern Ireland at the moment. That's why I don't think it's going to be 10 years. Politically, it's possible, but I think culturally, there needs to be more of this idea that, yes, we are all from Belfast and we're all going to support the same team and we all go to the same pub. And until that happens, that I can't see getting, you see, because it's not just a 50-50 thing. If you've got 48% of the population of Northern Ireland that don't want to become part of Ireland, and then you do become part of Ireland, you're going to have a lot of very, very angry unionists who have caused trouble in the past, maybe are causing trouble now. the DUP. And I don't see them stopping that. They're gonna go, oh well, we lost. We'll get
I wonder
over
if it'd be one of those things where you need a super majority that, you know, most of us
Yes.
would say that Brexit needed, because it's such a shift.
Do you know
Max?
what? I
Oh, go on, Greg.
I'd like to rejoin the EU tomorrow, but honestly, if we do, I honestly believe it should be a super majority. I think it should be 66% to rejoin before we rejoin, because we can't. I don't want to spend the rest of my life with this, you know, in out shaking all about hokey cokey bullshit. I want to go, yeah, the vast majority of the population want this, and I think the same's got to be for Ireland, and I think the same's got to be for an independent Scotland.
Can I? Yeah,
Hundred percent.
I just want to say something about it, which I think is interesting. People say, like, when will we see a united Ireland? And I think we're already seeing it, because if we look at what's happened over the last number of years, for example, the Irish government has extended Erasmus membership to universities in Northern Ireland. They recently invested a few million in a university in Northern Ireland. They recently also spent something like 800 million pounds or euros, I don't remember which it was, on infrastructure between the Republic and Northern Ireland. So in a sense, a united Ireland is already taking place. And I keep saying that
You're
it's not
right.
going to. I forget the philosophy. Was it about the ship, that if you remove parts of the ship, how long?
Theseus,
Yes.
the
So
ship of Theseus.
it's a sort of reverse version of that. We're getting like little bits. It's not going to be a case of you wake up one day and, oh, we're in a united Ireland. I think we're seeing a lot of things happening behind the scenes, which maybe are thanks to the Good Friday Agreement, or maybe just the Irish government is reaching out to Northern Ireland. And I think what the British government are doing, and I think the focus needs to be more on the British government, what they're doing is they're taking a more hands-off approach. And if you look at, like, the Labour Party have no MPs in Northern Ireland, the Conservatives have no MPs in Northern Ireland. There isn't a strategic benefit for the British government. Like, Scotland is different because of, Trident and stuff like this, and security and trade. But Northern Ireland is very different. And, people within the Republican community will be saying for years, like, the British government don't want Northern Ireland, they want rid of it. And I think even people in the mainstream are starting to say that as well. And if you look, I don't want to keep banging on about this, but if you look at the Brexit vote, Brexiteers had a choice between defending the union or pushing for Brexit. And people like Jacob Rees-Mogg, Brexit hardman Steve Baker, and others, they wanted Brexit over the union. And they got it. And I think just, the moderate unionists in Northern Ireland are starting to realize, yeah, they don't want, Westminster doesn't want us anymore.
But
And
isn't
we
that
have.
interesting as well? The DUP and other unionist parties would have backed Brexit because they would have thought it would have brought them closer to the UK, and it did the exact opposite.
I keep saying it, and I keep saying it on the channel. It's the DUP wanted a hard border on Ireland, the island of Ireland, because of their hatred of Ireland and the EU. So it was stronger, their hatred for Ireland and the EU was stronger than any love for the union. Because I remember saying to people online back in 2016, look, a vote for Brexit is going to upset the union. And the response was, that's scaremongering, don't worry, it'll be okay. And now we saw the, like, I wasn't a pro, it wasn't a prophecy or something. It was just, look, you're changing the status quo. Something is going to break. Something will have to break. And then
You just
we'll,
watched Star Trek and with like,
yeah.
yeah, jeans on it.
That's it.
But
Okay.
going back to Star Trek just for a second, I think
Yeah.
when Ireland does reunite, it has to come from a place of love. It can't come from a place of, well, we hate the British, so we're going to
Yeah.
become part of Ireland because we hate the British. You're absolutely right, Max. That's not the way to do it. You've got to vote for something positive and say, okay, we're in this together. The only thing that I think that the UK parties want Northern Ireland for above anything else is probably territorial waters, which they'll lose if Northern Ireland goes back to Ireland. So yeah,
Yeah, but
apart
that's
from that.
always going to share its waters. We're always going to share our waters with the UK. We're very much intertwined. It's like, at the
Yes.
moment, like, I can come over and work here. It's like Liverpool is, it's the 27th county of Ireland. Like, it's like, from my hometown in Drogheda, as you might call it, where it's quite a historical town. The ships used to leave. They're my ancestors are walking your streets. They took a ship over across to Liverpool. It's like, and my goodness, St. Patrick came from Liverpool, didn't he? And
Yeah, well, I
he
think he came
was
from
a
Wales,
Welsh.
actually. Was he
Wales, I
Welsh?
think. Yeah, I think he was a Liverpoolian. Don't be
Alex
judging a man for
will
Welsh.
know. He's a historian.
It's meant to be Wales. It's a bit up in the air as to his exact whereabouts,
Oh,
but
it's
I believe he
Liverpool.
took the
Have none of that
ship
Welsh
from
nonsense.
Wales.
I was kidnapped or something. They said, "Oh, go and have them," something like that. But yeah, it's but yeah, so it's our connections are there, and we are. While the Irish don't want to be called British, we very much can easily move through the society, British societies, and everything else, and we're quite proud of the connection that we have. You don't see. I'm happy to live and work here. I wouldn't be so angry about what Brexit has done if I didn't see how good opportunities were created here. You know, when I moved over here, I was incredibly annoyed with Tony Blair and the Iraq War. But like, yeah, it's still saying that I've always leaned towards Labour and always will, and love what this country can be. Brexit has damaged us to maybe irreparably. Maybe in our lifetime we won't see a recovery from that one. Maybe.
The highest moment was the Olympics in 2012. That was
Yes.
probably the crowning moment, and then things sort of
Up and
went
downhill
downhill
since
after
then.
that.
I got my shitty
Corruption.
new British passport this week, by the way.
Oh, Jesus. Don't know. Is
It's
it
made in Poland,
black?
right?
So the last
Terminal.
edition, of the maroon passport was beautiful. It had these gorgeous illustrations of architecture and art and dance on every page. Every page was unique and different. And now these new ones, which are made by a French company and printed in Poland, it's just literally this on every page. That's it. Every page is the same.
Put it up against your blue shirt there. Is it blue or black?
It's a very dark
I'm
blue.
seeing black. I'm seeing
Yeah,
black
it's a very dark blue.
like priest socks.
But do you know what? It's
Yeah,
going to be one of my big
I
regrets that I didn't get a last edition of the old British passport before they changed them. I don't really care about the colour on the outside, but it's the inside. They must have spent so long making that last edition, which was only available for a few years before this piece of shit came along. And now this
Well, great.
passport, which the old one used to get me work, I could work without a visa in 21 other countries. So 31 other countries. This one, Ireland. I can work in Ireland. That's it.
Hang on, Graham. You've done a TV series about like traveling around all the countries, haven't you? Yeah, you could do one of what we've lost, stamping my way through Europe, and you could get a series of like, you know, with each stamp, there's France. It's like we could have done this, and this. I'm saying I'd watch it.
Could have got married, could have retired, built a house, started a
Oh, you
business.
still can if you're rich enough.
Oh
I mean,
yeah,
there's
Brexit
the
doesn't affect the
irony.
rich.
It would be like Bullseye. This is what you could have won.
But it was the rich that told the people of Britain to vote for Brexit, and it doesn't affect them.
Oh,
Lawrence Fox can
that's
still.
not fair. That's not all the rich. Deborah Meaden, she's pretty rich.
Yeah.
You're in her office, aren't you?
Has anyone seen
Not
the interview
everyone.
with Johnny Rotten on LBC?
No.
No. Oh.
Full on racist.
He's gone pretty gam-gam in his old age,
Yeah.
hasn't
Oh no, he hasn't, has he? And
Yeah.
Johnny Rotten's gone full right, has he?
Well, a lot of people said he was never really punk. I mean, he literally
It's so
says he's
funny.
upset with people who aren't conforming to British values. I was quite surprised they didn't do a new version of God Save the Queen, but do God Save the King with the same lyrics and just come out and redo that. I was like, but as soon as he didn't do that, I went, yeah, you've
King
just
doesn't rhyme with
plummeted
fascist
song.
regime.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Sure, you can come up with other stuff. Does it rhyme with Epstein?
He's also a fan of Trump, so that's all you need to
I
know.
don't.
Yeah,
I,
he is,
I'm.
isn't he?
Oh my goodness. Well, we lost Eric Clapton to his racism as well. I wonder. It's like people say, as you get older, you get more racist. I think as you get older, you get more willing to say what you wouldn't say publicly. So it's like, you know, publicly or privately, they would be thinking these things and they just wouldn't say them. And now they're just shouting in the middle of the street at anybody who listens. So I think these guys were always a bit broken. Now we just have to hear them, and you haven't heard them in a while. Like Eric Clapton was having like a racist tirade on stage, and like, you know, it's like, and Trump gets up there and gets racist all the time, and they're all celebrating him. Whenever you get these demagogues or these populists, it's like, well, there you go. We've gone so far right, though, guys.
Pete
Everywhere's going
Doherty?
right.
No, not Pete Doherty. He's the lead singer of The Who.
Pete Townsend.
Pete Townsend. No,
Right.
Roger,
Roger Walt. No, Daltrey.
No.
Roger Daltrey. That's it.
Roger Daltrey,
Okay,
yeah. I
though
mean, he was
we got
saying,
all of them in there.
so yeah, we'll edit that
The
out. Roger
Who? The
Daltrey
Who? No, the
saying,
voice.
who?
No,
Who?
the Who? It's
The
like,
Who, yeah.
no, the point.
He, I mean, he said, you know, he got asked about Brexit. He's like, oh, it's not like we didn't have to have the ability to tour around Europe back in the 70s, did we, before Brexit? And then call them a fucking fascist regime. And you're like, you're just like FIFA. I mean, actually, FIFA is more comparable to a fascist regime after what went on with Blatter and everything else
And
than
Qatar,
the
and
EU. But I
Russia,
mean, again, it
and
just shows, talking of corruption,
Saudi Arabia.
Michelle Donnellan. What's going on
This
there,
is what I
Graham?
want to talk about.
Graham, can you tell us a little bit about
You got
this?
there in the end.
Well, I've got this figure written down, £15,000, right? And there's two people actually in the Tory party who have just cost, who we found out have cost the taxpayer £15,000. One of them is Michelle Donnellan, who slandered two academics online, calling them
Libeled.
really horrific, you know, saying that they were Hamas sympathizers, which meant they were sympathizing with the rape and the murder that went on October the 7th. They got suspended from their jobs as a consequence of this. She ended up being found that, like, coming to a settlement, right? Because this wasn't true. And it's £15,000, which won't cover the legal costs for these academics, I'll tell you that now. Yeah, apparently, guess who's paying for it? If you're British, you, John Q taxpayer. And also, there's another £15,000 that the Tories have frittered away. This is Liz Truss. Do you remember Liz Truss? She was the one who got beaten by a lettuce. When she was the foreign secretary, and she was racing around the world, doing terrible trade deals around the world, which included one with Australia, where we said, hey, how about we buy 20,000, no, tw yeah, 20,000 tons of your beef each year, quota, you know, tariff free, right? That's going to be the quota for the year. And in return, you can buy none of ours, not one soggy brisket of beef, because it's banned
I'm
in
going to come
Australia.
to Liz's rescue there,
Great
Graham,
deal. Great
because that
deal.
was actually Boris that
I
absolutely
know.
fluffed that.
And
I mean, I it's
he
like
went off to the loo.
went off to the loo and then used our fax machine to get a trade deal that damaged us. God, I had to choose my wording carefully. I could have chosen any number.
Yeah,
I haven't
you don't
sworn
want to be
yet, for
beeping
God's
too much
sake.
of this. But yeah, anyway, so Liz Truss decides to fly to Australia, which is, you know, a bit of a ball ache. It's a long way away. And she went on a private jet, as you do, because, you know, it's not their money. And she managed to spend on one trip in a private jet £15,000 on food and drink.
No, she didn't.
Yep. £15,000 of our money on food and drink
Food and drink.
on a private jet, yeah,
Not
to
the
Australia.
flight, but the
Not
food
the
and drink.
flight.
We were just
Catering
talking.
on the flight.
We were just talking off air how they are now going to inspect disabled people's bank accounts.
Yes.
And if any of us deposited money into their accounts, they would investigate us as well, and potentially our bank accounts, but we don't know yet. But Liz Truss spends 15K of our money on food and drink on a flight. What the hell was she ordering? How do you do, like, I mean, a bottle of what? Champagne, a grand? Like 50? Well, I guess if it's a
I
grand, that's 15 bottles of champagne. She'd blow
yeah.
that. It's well, she's such a lunatic.
The news of this is, so this is a result of a freedom of information request that was put in a very long time ago. And instead of giving the information to the person who asked for it, it was released to a friendly Tory national newspaper on Wednesday when we had the budget. Oh, well, there you go. So, you know.
It's like I know they try and hide a lot of stuff, the Tories, but it's like they're not very good at hiding stuff. It's like as soon as they hide something else comes back. And I think recently when Alex, we were messaging before the show, Alex said, because I wanted to pick something to talk about way before. And he goes, no, let's wait till about Thursday. The Tories will do something stupid. We'll have that to talk about. And it like literally is. It happens so often. There's a book, what is it, How They Broke Britain by the guy from what's his name?
James
Oh
O'Brien.
yeah, and
I've got it on the
it's
shelf
just,
over there.
I know it's if any of you guys have Spotify Premium, you can listen to it for about 8 hours and you can read the rest. But by all means read it. It's amazing. But it's just I've forgotten so much of what they've done. And it's like, oh my God. You need a history degree just to look at our modern political infrastructure for the last 15 years. It's like it's anybody who proclaims to like the Tories and what they do, you're thinking, what do you like about the adulterers, the thieves, the criminals? The it's like, you know, I'm like, sue me. I've got enough evidence to back up all of those claims for adulterers, like, you know, and wasters and like liars. It's like, my goodness, there is no. It's like, you know, I find it hard to find a good Tory. And I think, well, what did you do that was like good? And you think, oh, look, you were having an affair with Edwina Curry. We nearly had you on board there. We nearly, you weren't the bad, you weren't the worst of all. And an adulterer too. Oh, there's lies. And it's like, you're suddenly like, where can I go with this? And you're thinking, Boris Johnson was elevated to status of high priest of the Tory party. And he was like having an affair here, there, anywhere. Wouldn't admit how many kids he has. The first thing you can do, how many kids have you got? One. How many legitimate kids have you got? None. Baby. One. I don't know. But you at least say, you know, I know how many kids I've had. He couldn't even tell you any of the lies or tripped himself up. And he stayed in power. And he stayed in power. And he stayed in power. And you're thinking, yeah, so you've got this £15,000 that we're paying for. We paid billions into their bank accounts. And gentlemen, we're going to continue paying them in pensions for years to come. They're going to, every one of those, that Hunt, who rhymes with another word that I won't say on air, he's getting paid. Pension. They're earning all this money. So they, not only have they robbed us, destroyed us, broke Britain, but they're going to continue to rob us and probably come back to the House of Lords and get £347 a day, get fed, wander through the corridors. They don't care about democracy. And that's where I say the democracy is broken. You got people that are just in it for the money. They see politics as a means, not an end to kind of like help. Or they see it as an end, not a means to make anything better. That's it.
Why would a man who is worth £700 million, like our current prime minister, take a job that pays less than £150,000 a year?
Oh, well, he's good. Well, you know, I could give you 1,000 reasons for that and hundreds of reasons for that. It's like, you know, if yeah, it's like when you elevate yourself up, yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. Like, you know,
you know what winds me up when people say about universal basic income, if we bring it in, then everyone will be dead lazy. I'm like, well, why are these Tories doing work? Jacob Rees-Mogg never needs to work. Why has he got a job? Do you know what I mean? Like, the idea we're going to sit on our couch and play PlayStation for all of our lives is a bit like patronizing and daft. But just carrying on with your point about James O'Brien there. So Rush Jones has written the book A Decade in Tory. It's a doorstop. It is insane. And there's, like you say, there's so much stuff that you've forgotten. And you're like, oh yeah, I remember that now. Oh, that was that. Yeah. And it is very, very, very disturbing. That
Sorry, did you say Rush Jones?
Yeah, Rush Jones. Rush in Cheshire.
Yeah, he's on next week.
Is he? Oh, yeah, brilliant. Let's give him a look.
Next week's show.
I pre-ordered his,
get
his
Chris
new book.
Bynes on. Get Chris Bynes on this.
We'll try.
But four chancellors and a funeral. But yeah, but to go back to what you were saying there, Colin, about, like, you know, these populists. This is, even to go back even further, talk about democracy. One of the things that I'd like to see if Labour get in the first term. So what we'll probably see is PR will. If enough people in Labour, and I think we had a resolution on this 2 years ago at the conference to bring in proportional representation, or at least, you know, a more progressive form of democracy, it's going to be in Labour's interest to do that, because there's a good chance that, because the economy is going to take a long time to recover, the Tories could get back in 2029 and undo everything Labour did, like they've just done here. They got rid of connections, they got rid of short start, they got rid of the tax working credit. They got rid of so many things that Labour have brought in and let everything go to rack and ruin, obviously. But I think one of the big things, and there's a connection here with Keir Starmer, because when he was Director of Public Prosecution, he went after the red tops, he went after the tabloids, he went after the press. And I think that in order for our democracy to function properly, people need to be informed. And we have things called newspapers in this country that don't tell you the news, because that happened the day before. It tells you the opinion of billionaires of what you should think about the news. And it's like, how is this system right? And they can lie. And then a few months later, they can put a little retraction on the page, you know, page 27 in the smallest possible font. You have to get a magnifying glass out to see it. And I think, yeah, press reform has to come either hand in hand or even before we can start thinking about democratic reform.
I think it already is.
Populists are still going to becoming it. And
Guys,
also social
just on
media
that,
as well
yeah,
needs to be cut
just on
out.
that, like I don't know. I posted a video about it. It was an amazing clip. There was a guy from Polish news channel, and he apologized to people from the gay community about some of the language he used when the previous administration was in charge. So he said, look, I used to be insulting you people. I'm sorry about that, and I apologize. And they said, yeah, well, thanks for that. So it was it showed how, you know, a lot of these decisions are taken from the top. So, you know, the people who work in media are not generally bad people. It's just the people at the top who tell them, this is what you have to say. And we saw with Laura Koonsberg as well, like in the BBC, where, you know, the sort of things that she's been like, see, look at the way she treated Kemi Badenoch and was it Yvette Cooper? Completely different. Well, one is in power and the other isn't in power. And you would imagine it was the opposite.
But and it's an extreme thing to bring up, but it does set a basic principle, which is the Rome Statute, which is from the Nuremberg Trials, which says you do not have to follow orders. And the principle of that is, because people were coming forward and saying, well, I was given the order to go and kill that person, so I had to do it. And if I didn't do it, someone else would, or they would have killed me. Now, obviously, this is less extreme within journalism, but you still have to have self, and it's a very philosophical debate, actually. How much self-culpability do you? It's the same with the Met Police when they arrested the people who were holding out sheets of blank paper or were arrested before the crime even took place. They should have put a line in the sand and gone, no,
carrying
we're
eggs.
Not doing that because the Rome Statute says we're not doing that. And it should be the same with the press. They should just go, fuck that. The other thing I'd say is YouTube and all the stuff happening on podcasts is starting to obsolete the papers and the mainstream media, which is a lovely thing to see, because we're actually, I mean, you know, Max, this is part of the reason you and I set this up, was to go, you know, let's actually have a group of people on, from I'd say a relatively broad church. We've had conservatives and Marxists on, talking and debating about different topics. And actually, we seem to find that everyone's got a bit of a, there's more similarities than our differences with a lot of us when we actually get talking to one another. Obviously they're extremes. I don't think we could ever have anyone from the Conservative Party on here or Brexit. Actually, we've had a member of the IEA on here before who may be making a return.
That famous charity, that charity that looks after the billionaires, those poor shoeless orphans of billionaires.
I have to clarify, she wasn't a member when she was on the podcast. So she later became a member.
That's something else. So when we're talking about democracy, it's not just PR. Lobbying, we need to look at lobbying. We need to look at MPs having second jobs. No, that's it. No, you can't have a second job. Your job is being an MP. That's your full-time job. You can't do anything else.
Yeah.
Unless you're a doctor and you need to do so many surgery hours to keep your doctorship or whatever it's
military.
Called. Fine, but you don't get paid for it.
But you should be taxed above your salary. You should be taxed above your salary. It's like, you know, well, you can have the other job if it's important for you, but 100% of that tax goes to the government.
No,
that's
I don't think they should
be
allowed
it.
Full stop.
MP.
It reminds
how is
me...
it not a conflict of interest?
Yeah.
Can I just tell a very quick story about when I used to live in Ireland? I won't say any names, of course, this would be putting me in serious trouble. But there was a member of the Garda Síochána, which is the police force in Northern Ireland.
Guardians of the people.
And sometimes, for example, he would stop people to check their tax and insurance. And if you had a problem with your tax and insurance, all you had to do was say, I'm sorry, I need my house painted this weekend. Would you be free? And he was sure, and he would tear up any fine that he was about to give you. So he worked part time as a painter and decorator, which is actually illegal. So like if we, you know, yes, if you can, like, why can't we have this for politicians? You're a politician. This is your job. If you're not earning enough money doing this, then go and do something else. Like, it's a simple requirement. Now, if somebody wants to make the argument for paying them more, okay, that's one thing, but they can't have a second job because how is it possible that somebody like Ian Duncan Smith is a member of parliament and he writes like three or four articles for the Express, for the Daily Mail every week?
Would you stop them having
what did George Osborne do?
Would you stop them having a YouTube channel? Because you are earning.
You can switch off the earning potential on that. So that's a feature that can be switched off. It's like, you know, people are still like, you can't stop them from expressing themselves. That's freedom of speech. That you wouldn't do that. Like, you know, if they're popular enough to do that, that's, you know, if they focused all their time and energy on that. Chris Bryant wrote three books while he was an MP. We could question that if you wanted, about, like, you know, his code of conduct, entitled and everything else. But, like, some people don't switch off. He might only sleep 2 hours a night. So they have some recreational time that they can do things, write a book, do whatever else in the travel they're doing back and forth. So certain things you've got to allow them permission to do. It's a second job, usually is something that has a contract with you and the people that are employing you, an expectation for you to deliver certain things a certain way and present yourself in a certain manner. They're not giving you all this money because they think you're a nice fella around town. It's like, what was George Osborne doing? Can anybody remind me what he was doing as a second, third, fourth, fifth, and ninth jobs? Was he working for a newspaper or something? Was he doing something?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. It was a standard. I think Evening Standard, I think he was working for.
But then, wasn't that after he left?
Oh, Cameron. Cameron.
His real name is Gideon, by the way.
What?
Gideon Osborne.
Gideon Osborne, yeah.
I'm going to bring in a final topic, just on a little hidden news story that came out. Are you guys aware of who Chris Steele is? MI6. Former MI6.
He's the guy who came up with the PP tapes, isn't he?
He was the one who came up with the PP tapes. Yeah, so he used to work for MI6. His speciality was in Russia. He's left. He set up a private business, which still operates in London. I think it's called Orbis. And Donald Trump sued him. And this week, it's been announced that Donald Trump lost the case. Ooh. And he was the one that
watched those PP tapes.
All the stuff about the PP tapes and the sex parties, and it was all recorded in Russia. Mm. And it's really interesting because Donald Trump obviously said, oh, how can you believe this guy? And Chris Steele came out on TV and said something to the effect of, well, I work for MI6, I'm vetted. Are you going to believe someone who's vetted by MI6? Or are you going to believe Donald Trump? I was like...
Can I just be a little bit of a fly in the ointment here? Because no matter what we say about Trump, it's not going to damage his support with his sycophants. So Donald Trump, I've said the only thing that would damage Donald Trump's support with the MAGA crowd was if he were to convert to Islam. That's the only way he would lose.
Even think that would.
I think the dementia.
I think they'd start doing that thing where, you know, the cognitive dissonance. They'd start to imagine that maybe they were wrong and Islam, maybe they got confused. Yeah.
I think if you saw him on a prayer mat, you know, praying five times a day, or was it three times a day?
Disagree. I think they'll stop praying because you kind of think in there that these people are like real Christians. They're not. No. They're real Christians.
No, of course
they might have bothered
not.
Reading the Bible where it says, you know, that bloke who was the son of God says, it's more difficult for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. And they're like, okay, let's put a really rich man in charge of everything.
if they were genuinely religious, they would have read the Beatitudes and they would have read.
Yeah, but it's
the
not.
Sermon
but
on the
it's
Mount.
Not even the religious aspect. It's they hate Muslims. So if he became a Muslim, they wouldn't be able to.
Well, it's like those doomsday cults, isn't it, where the world didn't end on a particular day, and it just made their religion more fervent for some reason.
That was Elliot Aronson that studied those that doomsday cult, and it was him who came up with the idea of cognitive dissonance. That was like literally, it was like he looked at them, he actually infiltrated and watched them, and they go, oh, they've saved us because we were all believers. It's like, and like that's the thing. I'm with Graham on this one. I think
mental gymnastics.
I think they would just support anything he sells them. I just don't understand how a poor person from Missouri with one tooth and half a car is wandering around going, oh, Donald Trump really loves me. He would have you shot if you approached his lawn. And it's like, you know, it's like, what do you think? Like, you know, and it's anybody of a minority supporting Donald Trump is like, well, what are you thinking? So this rich man is only about himself. Like,
well,
you know,
interestingly,
like,
there was a load of AI images that came out, I think this week, with Donald being around a group of black people, black Americans, and it was all faked. But you had to really look hard to see that it was fake.
It was the seven fingers on one hand gave it away, but that's AI for you.
I love Midjourney, but like, you know, I'm just thinking you have to do a lot of work with it to make it work. And so, I do like the AI. I'm not an anti-AI person.
Can I just say, Christopher Steele, like, obviously he's going to be a secret agent. I mean, there's some nominative determinism right there, isn't it?
I'll
say this. I think the one thing that is damaging him is the dementia and Marjorie Taylor Greene. But the dementia stuff, that is tweeting heavily. And it keeps coming out. And I think Taylor Swift as well has finally, like, thrown her dice in and saying back Biden, which is also fascinating. But that's
Has
a
she?
side thing.
I
But
thought that's
amazing.
amazing.
There was a clip
Phones.
of Trump
Used that.
basically again confusing Biden with Obama, and you hear the crowd just go silent because they're like, "What? He still thinks Obama's in?" And it's over and over again. And for some reason, he can't knock it out of his head that it's
Well,
Biden.
hang on, there's worse than this. He called his wife Mercedes twice. Twice. I know my wife's name. I'm not going to say it's, Mercedes here, Mercedes. He called his wife when announcing her, all the support she's given him, everything. You have it's having an affair. It's like, is there a Mercedes he's knocking off in the back? But no, he called her twice. What the hell? Like, you don't even need to go to the confusion with Obama, Biden and whatever mentality he has there. He doesn't know his own wife's name or confused it. It's like I've been drunk and I still know who's shouting at me for coming home and making a racket and peeing on the floor. I can tell you, I'm not going to call my wife another name when she's telling me off for that. So it's like he's just what?
Colin,
It's like, but
do you think he's going to win?
oh Jesus. Oh. Right, do I think he's going to win? Right, I'm going to put £100 on him winning, because on the money that I win for it will pay for the meal I'll so desperately need to eat, knowing that
Ease
the
the
world
pain.
has gotten so closer to the brink of death or destruction. It's a toss of the coin. Is that Biden's not doing himself any favors? He's coming on and doing stupid things regularly. He was in Ireland and he got confused with his cousin who played against the All Blacks and said he played against the Black and Tans. It's like,
Oh,
he's
did you say
wandered. I
that?
know, I
Yes.
know, I know. It's this, he said that. And the Irishman, hey, did he? Or is he that old? It's like, it's like absolute. So this man isn't doing himself any favors. So it's like you're tossing your coin or your bet in the, like, it's a lose-lose situation. It's just how much are you going to lose? Biden propagated and supported Israeli things for ages and then said, whoops, they've gone too far. You need to stop now. It's like, oh yeah, look, I'm good. It's like he got the nickname from one MEP from Ireland as the Butcher Biden, and Ireland's turning against him in that regard. And Trump's then coming out with more outlandish stuff. Oh, I prefer Biden. I want him to win, but he's 81, isn't he? And the other fella's 79. Oh, Jesus. Would they just leave it for the younger fellas that can actually remember their wives' names?
I find it quite funny that one's heritage is from Scotland and the other one's from Ireland.
Trump's drunk, isn't he? Wait, isn't he Germany though? Isn't he? Is that
His
some like
mum's
Germany?
Scottish. His mum's Scottish.
Scottish me. Oh, and he's losing up there as well. He's the most sued man in the world, I think. He said he's the most persecuted man ever. He said, well, he's
Yeah,
kind of the
more than
most
Jesus.
prosecuted man
Yeah,
ever.
stop breaking the
Not
law,
persecute.
maybe. But he's got the Supreme Court on side. This is the thing. Like, this is what really
Oh,
concerns me.
Jesus.
And the
That's why I
Democrats
said
had a
yes.
chance while the Republicans were down in 2021. The Democrats had control of both houses and they had control of the presidency. At that point, they should have extended the Supreme Court to be 12 people or more, and put their own picks in. And they should have given statehood to Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., giving the
Yeah,
Democrats a
can
little
I
bit more
been a
of
huge
a
changing point.
for.
Yeah, you're right. That was
In
a bad move, not
I think it was
favors.
the comedian Bill Maher said that Republicans turn up to a knife fight with a gun, while Democrats turn up to a knife fight with a covered dish.
Yes.
It's like it's absolutely pathetic.
When they
Can
go
we ask?
low, kick them.
Yeah, and Graham, who do you think is going to win in November?
Don't want to say. Put it this way, every tyrant and every billionaire in the world wants Trump to win.
I'm looking for my
So
reason for
you're hoping
Trump to win,
Biden,
but
but the money's heading towards Trump. I think Trump's
yeah,
lost
the
it.
money's on Trump.
I think Trump's lost it. When you're looking at Nikki Haley and what she's done recently, and you're looking at the split in the Republican vote, it's like Biden's getting 90% in his primaries. Trump's getting 60 to 40, depending on the state. I mean, he'd lost
Okay.
Vermont and Washington, D.C., which, I mean, it's, in the scheme of things,
Okay.
nothing. But he's getting split votes because what you really want to do is win the swing vote, and he's not going to do that. Like, the abortion thing is not going to do that. The Supreme Court on how they've just basically said he's allowed to do whatever he wants. Like, he didn't invade or stage a coup in Congress. Time, Max,
Yeah.
who do you think is going to win?
I think, I hope I'm right. I think Biden is going to win it because I've been listening to, so the polling is not good for Biden, but There are a number of keys, and I keep coming back to this guy, and I keep forgetting his name,
Alan Lichtman.
Alan Nickman, who said, look, he's siding with Biden at the moment, but he's going to issue his prediction. This guy has been right since 1984, and
Okay.
he makes some valid points about how there are certain, like, there's the incumbency, which is on Biden's side, and that's really, really important. Now, something could happen between now and November that could change things. Neither, like, as was pointed out, Trump, see, a problem, I think a big problem for Trump is that we're comparing Trump today with Trump in 2016. And Trump in 2016 is a completely different character and different reason for people to vote for him. He was there to shake things up. He was going to drain the swamp and all of this sort of thing. And he was really damaged by COVID, and he was damaged by his time in office. And while he still has a core support, who those people will vote for him no matter what he does. It's the general public. And I think on the day of the election, the general public will be like, okay, do we want to go back to the way things were under Trump, or do we want to just stick with this guy who we have? Because if something happens to Joe Biden, they'll have somebody else in place. But if something have, you know, like, the alternative is putting a lunatic in charge. So I think, and I hope, that the majority of Americans are like, no, we don't want more of Trump. We've had him already. It was a shit show. Let's stick with what we know. And that's hoping that Biden makes it to November, because it's like watching somebody carry, you know, fine china across an ice rink. At any moment it looks like he's going to drop it. And I hate to make these comparisons, and I don't like the idea of any sort of ageism, but it's really worrying watching him, because he has serious problems, but both of them do. What about yourself, Alex?
Yeah, I'm not ageist, but yeah,
Go on, Colin. Go, go, go.
I was gonna say I'm not ageist either, but it's like when you see people struggling, when they're like, 20 years past retirement, back when they were working at harder jobs or whatever. Obviously, they're hard-working men, both Trump and Biden. But when you see the fact that they are struggling with day-to-day tasks, and the day-to-day task of running a country as big as America is you get 4 hours sleep, you're constantly on the go. It's grueling. You need to be of a sound mind to do it. And even those that were, like Obama, struggled on a day-to-day basis with the holding it all together. And he didn't have the paranoia that either of those men have about who's out to get them. And so it's like, it's literally, yeah, it's not ageist to say this is a tough job. They're not up for it.
One thing I'd say is this. So Trump loves to go on about the deep state, about how the deep state is out to get him. Actually, no, the deep state's out to get you, and he's the only person standing in the way of the deep state. So what I say to that is, he's still alive. So either A, the deep state is not real, or B, the deep state is real, and he's very much part of it because he's still alive,
Oh,
if you know what I mean.
yeah. That's a
On
tough
that
one, isn't
note,
it?
bye everyone.
Bye bye.
Thank
Bye
you.
bye 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 bye.
Be sure to tune in next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.